You're listening to KC Forum with Kathy Quinn, public affairs with an entertaining spin.
Good morning, everyone. If you've just tuned in, this is KC Forum. It's public affairs with an entertaining spin. Yes, it is every single Sunday right here on this radio station. And you can hear it also now on fox4kc.com/KC Forum for a couple weeks after the show airs in case you miss it. What are you going to miss this week if you don't tune in? Well, if you are tuned in, we're going to be talking about Vizsla Rescue, and it is a club here in Kansas City, just to talk about, you know, if you have your purebred dog, how these groups work to save and foster these animals from all across the country. Megan Tallman will be with us to talk about it. TWA Museum, former workers, lots of folks who really loved TWA and have the history down. They have a museum, and we're going to talk about how you can go out and see it and what you'll learn from the flying industry out with TWA. But first up, we are going to talk about a run that's coming up. It is the KC Race for the Cure. I have Melanie Bowman on the line. How are you, Melanie?
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
No problem. We want to spread the word about the Race for the Cure. Explain now your story. You are a cancer survivor, breast cancer.
I am. I was diagnosed in February of 2009. I had a long history, about 34 years of finding lumps and had biopsies, had lumpectomies for so many that I honestly don't remember how many, but over a course of 34 years. And I was pretty low-key about it. I thought, okay, this is just, my mother had the same history, lots of lumps, but nothing was malignant at all. And then just for my regular mammogram, my just annual mammogram, they saw a spot on my left side and ended up finding another spot on my right side. And so the race was on.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so for folks out there, this just goes to show you, you have to be diligent. You have to get yourself checked out. I mean, that is the way to do it.
It absolutely is. I mean, I would not have found, I said by the time I would have felt a lump, it would have been so much farther advanced that it would have been even more difficult to treat. And your survival percentages go down. And so right now it's about 99% 5-year survival rate if they catch it early. And the way to do that is by mammograms, because I never felt a lump. And I really don't have any family history of breast cancer. So all of those things you hear about that, you know, kind of rumors or old wives' tales,
yeah,
they really aren't true, that you just anyone, even men, can get breast cancer.
Exactly. And we've done shows on men with breast cancer. There's a 24-year-old, Peggy Eddie's Miller's son, of course, Brett.
And I know him. He's a very good advocate.
Very nice. Very nice young man, and really getting the word out. How does the Race for the Cure help women or men who are diagnosed with breast cancer? How do they support you guys?
It's just incredible, the amount of support they give. Everything from the diagnosis to providing mammograms free or at a low cost for people who don't have insurance coverage. They just this last year alone gave out almost $1 million of grant money to local programs. Samuel Rogers, just a lot of different, we're in a 17 county area. The a lot of people are familiar with the St. Luke's mobile mammography van, and that is funded by the Susan G. Komen. So it's just they operate that. They go to all over the city, all over the metro area. There's a lot of organizations that's the only way that they can fund their mammography program if someone does not have insurance. So starting with the diagnosis, mm-hmm, all the way through, one of the things they fund is the patient advocate, a patient navigator at Truman Medical Center. And they that person is a nurse who has been trained in the whole breast cancer care continuum, and that person walks you through literally every step of the way, if any of the help that you need. And there's other similar programs to like that they fund, all the way through, even help connect you with support groups, with the different organizations mm-hmm. that will support you, depending on maybe through your faith-based organization or just anything that you need through, like one of the regular hospitals. If the people are not able to pay for it themselves because of, you know, lack of insurance coverage, sure. things like that. So it's just amazing how they are there with you every step of the way. And as much help as or as little help as you need.
Well, and that's as that counts because you're trying to get better.
Right. And you're just in a fog. And yeah. you know, I just I had lunch today with another survivor and we talked about how we were always very quick to put our two cents of advice in when someone else was diagnosed with breast cancer before we were diagnosed. And then when you're diagnosed, it's a totally different
wow.
ball game. It just throws you for a loop. So you need as much support services around as possible because you're overwhelmed and you just don't know what is the next step and what's the best step and things like that. And they even fund local research programs. There's a study right now at the KU Cancer Center that exploring whether flaxseed, mm-hmm. just a simple over-the-counter flaxseed, can be used as a supplement to maybe prevent breast cancer. There's studies on that right here in Kansas City. The overwhelming majority of the money stays locally, but mm-hmm. Every breast cancer breakthrough has had some form of Komen funding at some point along the way. So it's an incredible organization.
We're talking about the Susan G. Komen Race for the Cure, and it is happening August 12th at Union Station. And the reason we have Melanie on is because she's talking about how it supports women, men with breast cancer. And the race, how will you be involved with the race at all?
Well, I'm in the race. This will be my fourth race here in Kansas City. My husband and I do the 5K. The first year was a week after my last surgery, so I did the 1 mile fun walk. Then from then on, we've done the 5K. I'm a walker. I'm not a runner. It's our fifth race total, or fourth race here in the Kansas City area.
And you sound very positive. Do you think that's a key to getting better?
I think that's kind of my nature anyway. I really do think it does help you get better faster anyway. And if you can stay positive, I think it's more comfortable for your family too. You know, the hardest phone calls that I had to make was the first one to my husband. I called him from the doctor's office. The next one were to my kids uh-huh. up in Chicago. And you know, it was just the hardest thing in the world. And the last one was to my mother, who was 86 at the time. I was trying to sound real positive to reassure them. You know, I knew the percentages were in my favor. Over, you know, the 99% cure rate was wonderful to see. And you don't want to scare people away from getting checked themselves. And, you know, I think it does help just to be positive.
Excellent. Melanie Bowman, you have helped us so much. And good luck with the race, or I'm sorry, your walk part of it.
With the walk, the fast walk, right.
And
there's still, it's August 12th, mm-hmm. and you can register even up to a couple of hours before the race. The lines are pretty long in Union Station if you wait to the last minute. But you can go to the KomenKansasCity.org website and sign up. You can do it in advance, and then you don't have to worry about the lines. And $25 for per person, and that includes the T-shirt for the untimed races. And I believe the timed racers, theirs might be $30, $35.
Perfect. No, they can check on the website with that. But Melanie,
it's all
we just
on the website.
We
yes.
kind of wanted to just get your part of it, you know, to humanize what it's all about. And you are a survivor.
Well, thank you. I'm happy to be one.
Yay!
It's the way to be.
All right. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Stay with us. We got more on the way.
Hang on. There's more on the way with Kathy Quinn and KC Forum.
Hey If you're the one in one of two Americans who dread going to the dentist, kiss your dental fears goodbye. Dr. Gregory Stiver at the Dental Care Center in South Kansas City offers sedation dentistry, a breakthrough for patients who have traumatic dental fears or have had a negative dental experience. Same-day emergency appointments and lunchtime appointments are available. The Dental Care Center also offers teeth whitening, cosmetic dentistry, and porcelain veneers. Check them out at kcsedationdentist.com. Call Dr. Stiver at the Dental Care Center and kiss your fears goodbye. 816-533-7399.
If you've just tuned in, you are listening to KC Forum right here on this radio station, and we are going to talk about a special club, a Show Me Vishla club. What the heck is a Vishla? Megan Tallman is here to explain it, and, you know, I've heard about these dogs before, but Megan, these dogs have been your life.
They were here before I was.
Well, I see on your website, back in 1950, your dad, let's explain what a Vishla is, first of all.
Okay, it's a Hungarian hunting dog. They are, I describe them as very Weimaraner looking, which is a German hunting dog, but they're a little bit finer boned, and they come, oh gosh, Kathy, and it's from a deep red, deep rust to sometimes a little bit golden. There's a little bit of a variation in the coloring.
How did your father get involved with Vishlas?
It's a long story, but the Reader's Digest version is, at the time they had boxers.
Uh-huh.
They were showing boxers, and a friend of the family, Emmett Scanlon, was over in Rome on a political appointment, and a woman there was going to marry a gentleman and could not keep her dog. And the dog was, the female was pregnant, and he says, I've got a guy in Kansas City that's nuts about dogs. He says, let's go ahead and send her on. And when Mel Schlesinger accompanied my dad and the two girls, my sisters, down to the airport that night, they opened up the crates and thought, oh, my God, you know, they've sent you bad wines. But in the meantime, they've, you know, become quite a fabulous, but they were bred for two things. One to hunt, uh-huh, and two to protect the children and royalty.
What are they like? What are they good with families?
They're great with kids. They're one of the few hunting dogs that can go from the field into the home and make the transition without making you want to jump out the window. they are high energy. They're not for everyone. I mean, they do need their exercise, and when folks call me, I'm head of rescue program for the club, and they say my dog is chewing this up or, you know, digging holes, and I go, you've got a bored dog. You know, a happy Vishla owner has a tired Vishla.
Ah.
So that's the trick to it. But no, they're fabulous. You know, with kids, they're good as therapy dogs. They're great in the field. You're seeing more and more of them in obedience competition.
And you have carried this on since 1950. That was October back then when Frank Tallman, your dad, you waited anxiously, your dad did, because you weren't there yet, Megan.
No, yeah.
They waited at Kansas City Airport for the dogs, Vishla. Now, Vishla is V-I-Z-S-L-A, Vishla Club. If you'd like to look it up and say, hey, what does a Vishla look like? I have seen them personally because I just saw a litter in your home not that long ago. They're beautiful, beautiful dogs. Gorgeous,
right?
Dogs. So now they're, at that time, there weren't too many in the country. Now you've got them all over the country.
Right, right. And so what we found is, you know, the dogs, an average pup right now from a responsible breeder is probably going to run you anywhere between, $800 and $1,200. And we've got some folks here in the Midwest that are breeding and not paying attention to the genetics. And sometimes you can get some issues with temperament or allergies, you know, crazy things like that. You really have to be careful in any breed in making sure that you watch your genetics and you're not breeding too closely on a line breeding. Before I bred Nellie, I think I probably had, $700 to $800 worth of health testing run before we even okayed her to be bred.
Now, the reason we're talking about Vishlas in particular, is because obviously I know that how heavily involved you are with the Show Me Vizsla Club, but it's not just a Vizsla. I mean, you don't want to get involved with breeding and all that unless this is something that you've studied, this is something you know about. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about more on the rescue side of it, Megan, because you're very entrenched in rescuing, be it a Vizsla, be it a Chihuahua, be it whatever. Let's talk about the Vizslas, though. I mean, you take these animals in, you foster them, and you are in need of foster homes.
Absolutely. Yeah. We have, oh, goodness, Kathy, I think on our website we may have like 3 or 4 that are actually on the website up and ready for adoption. Then we have another, oh, goodness, maybe 5 that are not on the website that are just in fostering right now, and we're evaluating them, and I know that I have 1, 2, 3 waiting to come in. So we're probably one of the busiest rescues as far as our breed in the United States, and we take in anywhere between 30 and 50 Vizslas a year, depending on what's going on.
Requirements, let's say if there's a family out there that wants to foster a Vizsla, what are the requirements?
Well, we'd want to know, you know, what their history is as far as have they even been around the breed? Have they had a sporting dog? You know, do they have a fenced-in yard? Are they savvy as far as behavioral issues? You know, to evaluate a dog immediately from the, you know, the get-go, do they have cats? We need to watch that.
Sure.
You know, to see, you know, we may get someone that doesn't like cats. Now, oddly enough, I just, you know, brought another parrot into the home today. My guys do not get too excited about my parrots because they don't smell wild.
Ah.
So I don't have to worry about that too much. With these guys, the fluttering of the wings, yes, that kind of gets them excited. So I do have to kind of watch that. But right now I'm looking in my house. I have 3 of my own and 2 rescues, and I've got 1 more coming in. One is going through heartworm treatment right now. I mean, you nurse them back to health.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes it's hard to say goodbye, but, man, when you make a good placement, and it's a love connection, it's worth everything.
We are talking about the Show Me Vizsla Club. Vizsla is a dog, gorgeous, gorgeous dog. And I remember talking to you about, for instance, you were fostering some dogs, but when you went to go, we don't want to mention any names or anything, but a woman who thought she was going to be breeding these dogs. And when you saw these dogs, they were so malnourished.
Yes.
I think there were, oh, it was just incredible, because you have to feed them the right stuff. You can't, you know, take these animals in, or any animal in, I don't care what, and not feed them. Come on.
Right. They have to have the right nutrition from the very beginning. And those little guys, I personally took the 2 worst that I thought were not going to make it. And we put them on Proplan and Panacure, which is for worms, and supplement that Purina puts out that's called Fortiflora. And I am sure that that's why those pups survived. You know, I was up every 2 hours, and I'd feed them just a little bit because they weren't used to having a full meal.
Oh, how are they doing now?
They're fabulous. Are you kidding me? I did get to see the one that I was so worried about that I didn't think was going to make it, and I saw him the other day, and he's doing great.
Oh, good.
And it's just... But he stayed within the club. The Kansas Vizsla coordinator for rescue, she kept him.
Oh, how funny. So now
he didn't go very far.
All right, we're talking about Show Me Vizsla Club. They have a meeting coming up August the 4th. And if you'd like to find out more about the club, or not even just Vizslas, what I'm trying to get across is, let's say that you have, you find a Chihuahua, you find a bulldog, whatever. There are rescues like the Show Me Vizsla Club, where they take in particular breeds and then help place those. So that's what I'm trying to talk about. And people don't realize that.
I would say, Kathy, if anybody finds anything that's a purebred dog, even if it's like a St. Bernard or whatever, if you just Google St. Bernard Club of America, they will have on their national site for the national club contacts for every state or, you know, within the region.
Okay.
Of someone who handles the rescue for your area.
Perfect. And you're not a veterinarian. You're not a,
no.
You know, you are just a beautiful dog lover.
I'm a dog person, okay. I like to say. I you know, I've trained dogs and you know, do a lot of behavioral work, but that's because of my experience with the rescue.
Okay. All right. And folks should really call a club or Google it, because it's going to help the dog in the end.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you, if people are looking to buy from a breeder, the person to contact really is the rescue person in your region, because they're going to know who the more reputable breeders are,
okay.
who you want to stay away from, you know.
Okay.
And they may have something in their rescue program that you might like.
Perfect. Megan Tallman, thank you so very much, and good luck with the club.
Fabulous, Kathy. Thanks.
All right, honey. We got more on the way. Stay with us.
Hang on. There's more on the way with Kathy Quinn and KC Forum.
I use Molly Maid because my house cleaning needs are different from my neighbor's. Only Molly Maid can give my home the pink glove treatment, a thorough deep down cleaning plan designed just for me. Consistent and dependable cleaning with every visit. Molly Maid guarantees I'll be satisfied. Call Molly Maid and ask for the treatment, the pink glove treatment. Call 1-888-393-1879 and mention you heard this on KC Forum with Kathy Quinn to get $15 off your first cleaning. Why do I use Molly Maid? Call them and find out why. Call 1-888-393-1879.
Good morning, everyone. If you just tuned in, you're listening to KC Forum. I have Pam Blasham on the line with the TWA Museum. How are you, Miss Pam?
I'm fine. We're very excited right now.
Oh, tell me why. Tell me why.
Tomorrow, we just received yesterday the TWA crew memorial from Flight 800, dedicated to all of our family and friends that were killed on Flight 800 in 1996. Tomorrow is the 16th anniversary of the explosion, and we just received the crew memorial, and we're planning a big ceremony tomorrow. I don't know if you'd call it a ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have a little service honoring those people that were unfortunately killed on Flight 800, and we're going to have a moment of silence at the exact time when the airplane went down, and that'll be tomorrow evening. And we will have a moment of silence, and then we will read the names, and then we will have a poem, and then taps. It's going to be emotional.
I was going to say,
it's very exciting to have finally received this memorial.
Wow. Okay, you are the director of the TWA Museum.
Yes.
Kansas City has such a deep, deep history with TWA.
I know. Every time you go somewhere, you say something about TWA. Oh, my neighbor, my brother, my uncle, my aunt, my sister, you know. I think everybody here has a connection with TWA.
So with this museum, how did it get started?
Well, many years ago, a shop mechanic at the Kansas City Overhaul Base bought a box of junk at a garage sale. Inside that box of junk was a Transcontinental and Western Air Express pin, which was one of the forerunners of TWA, and he thought that was pretty cool. Then all of a sudden he started this collection, and people from everywhere started sending him things. And the museum actually opened at the Kansas City Overhaul Base way back in 85. And Marie Trainer, who has since moved on to Seattle, she was a former flight attendant. She cared for it for 20 years. There's a group of us, 9 former flight attendants, got involved about 2.5, almost 3 years ago. And the rest is history. We started pounding the pavement for a permanent home. We met with Brian Orr, who's the area director for Signature. And lucky for us, he loves history. He realizes the history of the building and the connection with TWA. So here we are.
Oh, my goodness. And how neat it is that you actually were a flight attendant. So this is all in your blood.
Oh, yeah. We had a grand opening on July 7th, and it was actually Signature's grand opening, because Brian had just had the whole building renovated inside and out. And when we got up, you know, everybody did a little presentation, and he wanted all the focus on the museum. And when I had to do a little speech and I was supposed to say, you know, what I had written.
Right.
And I was trying to get through saying this wasn't just a job, it was my life. And it took me forever to get those words out of my mouth because it brought back a lot of emotion, and it really has been my life.
Oh, my gosh. And now you're living it on.
Oh, yeah. So I don't need to catch a flight anymore. I can be down here, okay?
Where is the museum?
It's at 10 Richards Road in the downtown Kansas City Airport. And, you know, now, because 169 is closed, you come over the Broadway Bridge, you get off at the downtown airport, and you go three-quarters of the way around the roundabout, and we're right there in that Art Deco building that's going to be facing you. It runs perpendicular to the runways, and it's 10 Richards Road,
mm-hmm.
and it's a kind of a beige-colored building with brown trim, and the outstanding feature is the Thunderbird that is inlaid on the top of the building. It's really a neat building. I feel like I'm coming home every time I come down here.
Well,
might as well move in, I guess.
Hey, you should, Pam. Well, you put your whole heart and soul into it, your whole life into this.
Oh, yeah.
What can people learn, for instance, people who were not born 96, young people, what can they learn about Kansas City flying TWA?
Well, I think they can learn about, number one, the history of TWA and some of the founding fathers who were instrumental, like Jack Fry, Paul Richter, and Walt Hamilton, and what they did for commercial aviation, and how Jack Fry was instrumental in the design of the DC-1. There was only one built. TWA got it, and the DC-2 and the DC-3, many of which are still flying. And our legendary owner, Howard Hughes, who was Howard Hughes. And that's one of the reasons that TWA became known as the airline to the stars, because of his wealth and his connection with Hollywood. Just learning about also record-setting flights that Howard Hughes and Jack Fry did in the Lockheed Constellation, delivering mm-hmm. the airplane to the military, breaking speed records, but just TWA first, TWA's contribution to aviation. And, you know, it's not like it is today. Flying's not like it is today.
How has it changed?
Some of the displays and the beautiful Rosenthal crystal and china that we have in the display cases and a lot of the things that TWA did first.
Mm-hmm.
It was really awesome. And so it was terribly disappointing when American shut down the overhaul base in Kansas City, because that was basically the end of anything to do with TWA in Kansas City. That's why we're so fortunate to have this right where we belong.
And with this memorial, this particular memorial, the crash that happened on July 17, 1996, killed 230 people. Explain what the memorial looks like.
Oh, it's beautiful. You better come down here.
I better.
It is granite, and it's kind of a gray granite. It's probably 5 feet tall, and it is on the front. It has all of the TWA family, the crew members that were killed on it, because there were two crews. There was a deadheading crew and the working crew, and their names are engraved on the front, and the top is three glass pieces that depict the airplane taking off, the airplane in the clouds, and then God's hands holding the airplane. It's very emotional to all of us, and it was just delivered yesterday. And this TWA family is crazy. We're all crazy.
That's what I heard.
We're crazy about our industry. We're crazy about what we used to do. We know what we're all about. We know we were leaders when we were around. But what was so interesting is the truck driver who delivered the memorial, it came from New York. I said, we're going to have a police escort. I said, don't laugh at me. This is all very emotional for us. He said, I'm way ahead of you. I said, what? He had his company, he called his company in Chicago and said, I want signage made for my truck when I get there. And they said, are you crazy? We've got a lot of people ahead of you. He said, no. He said, I figured when you're spending that amount of money for a police escort, it must be important.
Aww.
And I could not believe what this truck driver did for us.
Aww.
So anyway, we met out in Liberty. And we were supposed to have two motorcycle police. Instead, we had a police car, four motorcycle police, and we had a caravan of all these, like I say, the crazy TWA family. We had flags on our cars. We expected maybe 20 cars. We had like 37.
Oh, my goodness.
But I couldn't count because I was right behind the truck. So anyway, it was awesome.
And this is going to be a permanent fixture then at the museum, correct?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you so much for keeping the history alive and letting people know who were not born at the time of the crash, who were not born, you know, when TWA was here in Kansas City, that you're keeping it alive for all of us to know where our history came from.
Oh, yeah. It's fabulous. And I love it.
Is there a website, Pam?
Yes. It's TWAMuseum@10RichardsRoad.org.
Well, that's it for us this week and another show in the can. Remember, you want to hear this show again, go to fox4kc.com/kcforum. And thanks to our web folks for allowing us to do that. Also, thank you to the Elders for allowing us to use their music as our bumper music. Of course, the Elders, Celtic Rockers here in Kansas City, one of our own bands. And then Katie Connors, our executive producer. Awesome. Ed Walker, thank you so much for getting us on the air. I'm Kathy Quinn. Drop me a line at kathy.quinn@wdaftv4.com. Until next week, have a safe one and stay cool. See ya.
It's KC Forum with Kathy Quinn.